with he and his wife, they just decided they were going to live by faith. Now, that may look a little different to him than it does to us, but his idea was living for faith. By faith was, I'm not really going to express my needs, especially in desperation, to anybody else, but to God. I'm going to let God know my need, and I'm going to trust him for it. Now, man, there's times where that's tough, right? I mean, it's like, we want to play the manipulation game with God, right? And then we want to play the manipulation game with other people, right? If you need money, you go to the wealthiest person you know and say, I just need you to pray with me. What you're really asking, can you give me some money, right? Well, let me tell you a couple of stories. This one friend of mine, and he was praying in the Spirit, and he was in a church, and he knew this really wealthy guy that was in the church, and he said, I was praying today, man. I was praying in the Spirit. I've been praying for quite a few hours, and the Lord told me that you were going to buy me a car. First of all, I never have the guts to do that, right? But he said, you're going to buy me a car. And this guy was smart enough, the richer fellow was smart enough to say, you know what? When he tells me to, I will. Right? Hallelujah. And then I've seen it over and over again where, I'll just tell on myself. This was years ago. I was coming back from Bible school, and I was coming back at Christmas time, and I had the flight to get home, and I was going to be here for 10 days. I was in Tulsa flying back to, this area, and I had like $12 in my pocket. And I'm thinking, God, I'm not going back to my parents. I'm a king's kid. I'm not going back to my parents as a king's kid, as a beggar. Because basically with $12, they'd have to buy my food. They'd have to fill my gas tank. They'd have to do all those things because I was broke. But I said, God, I'm not going back as a beggar. I'm a king's kid. God, I know you're going to supply my needs according to your riches and glory. Well, I flew from Texas with a layover in Denver. And again, it was December, so there's a lot of snow going on in Denver at that time. And they had backup. So they get on the intercom and they say, anybody that will, this was back in 1980, right? So anybody that will give up their seat will give $75 to. I think, wow, Lord, is this you? No, there's people waiting for me on the other end. I got to get on the plane because they're waiting for me. It would be too difficult. And as soon as I sat down on the plane, I went, man, I really missed it. I really missed it, right? And so I said, God, if I missed it, I know I missed it in here. Just have them make an announcement on the airplane and I'll get off, right? So the pilot comes on and says, the weather in Seattle just happens to be a little overcast and we might have to do some circling. So we have to offload some fuel or no, we had to put on more fuel. So we need 3 people to volunteer to take the next flight. Man, I was off of that plane in a second, right? And by the time I got to the podium, it was $125, right? But watch this. When I was on that flight from Tulsa to Denver, I had this whole conversation with God. But then God said, I'll take care of your needs, right? But then I got to thinking, well, where could I get it from? And I started going, well, I could go to this group and maybe they'd let me speak and take up an offering, or I could go over here. And the Lord said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? He said, am I your supply or not? Forgive me, God. I don't care where it comes from. You'll take care of it. And so that happened on my way, $125. And then we did the gift exchange thing. So my aunt just happened to get my name that year. You know what she got me? She got me a wallet with 50 bucks in it. See, God taking care of it. But I could have manipulated and tried to get it on my own, but that's not trusting God. That's not having faith in God. Anytime you have to use manipulation or you try to put yourself in the center of it, it's not trusting God. Hallelujah. So tonight I want to talk to you out of Hebrews chapter 11 again. You got your Bibles? Come on, make the devil mad. Say, I got my Bible. You know, your Bible ought to be your best friend. Let me say that again. If we really believe that this is the Word of God, then our Bible should be our best friend. You know, when we, back in the day when we got saved and we used to give people, you know, if a person got saved and they started kind of walking with the Lord, we'd get them a Bible. But back in the day, the bookstores all had these embossers. And you get them a leather Bible, and then they'd stamp their name in the Bible. Right? So it was their Bible. You could pick up any Bible. Oh, that's George's Bible because that's his name right on the front of it. And I think because we got it on our phone, and I'm not against phone. I read mine on the phone all the time. But there's something about having your own Bible and having a relationship with that Bible, right? So we're coming to the Word of God tonight. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. And let's start in verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, faith. It said, by faith, Abraham left. And we think about the faith of Abraham. We're going to look at that a little bit in a minute. But Abraham had great faith. He was the father of faith, right? But he was like you and me. What do I mean? He was just like you and me. Meaning, I believe God, but how's it going to happen? I believe God, but when's it going to come? Right? And sometimes in our faith, in our trust in God, we get tested in it. God, I know you told me that I was, you know, going to have my needs met, but it's not here yet, and it seems like, God, that you're letting me down here a little bit. And God's saying, it's not your time, it's my time. And I'll take care of you if you'll continue to trust me. Think about this. Even Jesus and his disciples, they walked with Jesus. They saw the things he did. Do you think that your faith would be encouraged if you were standing with him and he went up to the tomb of Lazarus? I said, roll that stone away. He stinks, man. You don't want to go in there. He stinks. He's been in there 4 days, man. His body is decomposed. Don't you think that, you know, your faith would be strengthened when he said, come out, Lazarus, come out, loose him and let him go. And here's a dead man walking on the streets again. Don't you think your faith, man, it would be strong by that point. Look, if he could raise the dead, he can do anything. But then it shows over and over again where they messed up. They got in a storm and you know, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? He was asleep in the boat and he said, where's your faith, you little faith? Where's your faith? Don't you trust me? See, that encourages me because I may not have all the faith that I need right now. But if I trust and keep walking with God, he'll get me to the place where I can have that faith. So go with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I love the Word of God. Verse 1, it says, what then shall we say about Abraham our father? Has found according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, he had a place in God that was outstanding, and it was based on the fact that he had faith. He had great faith. Great faith. But what I'm telling you is he didn't start out that way. I mean, he had to leave his hometown, and he had to obey just on what God said, but there was also all kinds of doubt in his life. Let's go back. We'll come back to Romans chapter 4, but let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I think sometimes in the process of living with God and having our faith in God grow, we can get to the place where we become weary in our walking our faith out. And doubt can come and it can overcome us. I mean, just the simple, Jesus loves me, this I know. But when things don't seem to be going right, it's like, God, where are you? But we have to come back to the Bible that says, God so loved Bruce that he gave his only begotten son. And I have to stand on that rather than looking at the circumstances that I find myself in. See, Jesus said this, and it's something that's amazing. He said, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible to those who believe. I'm here to tell you tonight that the impossible becomes possible when our faith in God gets to the place where it needs to be. God, you got this. You got this. I believe that there's dreams inside of us that doubt and unbelief is smothered, where God is saying, no, 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 no. I need you to trust me, and I'll do what's impossible for you, but it's not impossible for me. Again, this is the story of Abram in verse 1 of chapter 12. He says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. What a promise. You go out, this is what I'm going to do. Well, it was actually, I believe I'm right, in about 25 years before the Son of Promise was actually born. Get out, and I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to flourish you. All nations in the world are going to be blessed. And Abraham was blessed in many things as he went out. I mean, he's multiplied his flocks and you know, he got so much that his traveling companion, Lot, they had to split up because there wasn't enough grass or feed for both flocks. They were just being prospered so much. But yet, in this one thing, the promise of the heir coming through him hadn't happened yet. So here's Abram, and he and his wife got together and said, well, it's not happening with us. Maybe we should get you somebody else that the heir could come through. We're going to do this, and we're going to help God out. How many have ever tried to help God out? You pray, and you say, God, this is what I need, but I know you're going to need some help, so I'm going to figure this out. And when we try to figure it out, we always get in trouble because we try to manipulate. We try to make it our own way. And God's saying, that's just going to bring delay. Right? Your faith is so important. You trusting God is so important. And He will never, ever, 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 ever let you down if you'll continue to stand. I like this. In Romans, it said that because Abraham obeyed, it showed his faith. Sometimes our faith is started in our obedience. Right? It started in our obedience. But wouldn't it be nice if the second that we obeyed, then the results would come in so we could just make that happen, right? So it's like this. God says, I want you to give. I'll meet all your needs, but I want you to give. And so you give something, and nothing comes back. But God, nothing comes back. But God... Well, maybe I need to do this, or maybe I need to do that. And God is saying, no, look, I'll take care of it, but you have to trust me. It's in my time. So here's Abraham, and he's got this promise, and then he goes about and says, you know, we'll do the Hagar thing and get Ishmael, and that didn't work out so well. But let's go to chapter 15. Chapter 15. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere tonight. Yeah. I said, we're going somewhere tonight. I want to get you back in faith. Verse 1 of chapter 15 said, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of the house is Eleazar of Damascus. And then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, thus this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you're able to number them. So he said to him, so shall your descendants be. He believed the Lord, and he counted to him for righteousness. Now watch this. God spoke to him at the beginning, but then some time went by, and then God had to speak to him again. He took him outside, said, hey, look, here's the stars. That's how it's going to be. Get a picture of this. You've got to start seeing things through his eyes, and he'll give you glimpses of what that faith that he's put inside of you is for and what it's going to bring to pass. But even in that, that's when Hagar came on the scene and messed things up. But go to chapter 17. Chapter 17. Listen to this. When Abram was 99 years old, when he left the Ur of the Chaldees, I think he's about 75, between 75 and 80. So this is 99 now. He's 99, and the Ishmael thing didn't work out too well, right? But he's still got the promise. God said, your heirs are going to come through your own body, and I'm going to take care of it. Now, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. You see, our faith can't be on who we are in ourselves. She's a preacher. Our faith must be in who He is to us. I am Almighty God. What does that mean? I can do it. That's El Shaddai. I'm the God who is more than enough. You're 99 years old. What's that to me? My promise isn't based on who you are. My promise is based on who I am. See, our faith can't come by what we bring to the picture. Our faith must always be based on what He brings to the picture. Right? Now watch this, because this is really crucial. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. The same promise that he made to him in chapter 12, he's reiterating it. But Abram hadn't gotten it yet. He talked to God face to face. He didn't have his word. He talked to him face to face several times, right? And God even took him out, look at all the stars. That's going to be it. That didn't get it done. I mean, Abram believed God, but the circumstances brought doubt into his heart. So he's here, and he says to God, look at, I'm this old. How's this thing going to happen? And God says, this is who I am. But watch this. Verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations. You see, Abram was changed to Abraham for several reasons, but the main reason was is that whenever Abraham introduced himself, he had to introduce himself as the father of many nations. See, the word that was in, that God spoke to him, he had to put inside of himself and begin to declare it everywhere that he went. See, because the declaration of God's word spoken to you is what brings faith. It's what feeds faith. It's what keeps faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's when you hear the word of God that faith is developed. But it's when you remember the word of God that you have been spoken that faith can remain. I have a word from the Lord. I know that He'll supply all my needs. I have a word from the Lord that He gives me peace. I have a word from the Lord that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? And I need to hang on to that. Now go back to Romans chapter 4. Just imagine, your name's changed. And so you have to start introducing yourself. Yeah, I'm Bruce the Blessed. Right? I was just Bruce before, but God changed my name. I'm now Bruce the Blessed. I'm Bruce the Blessed. I'm Bruce the... That's kind of weird. I'm Bruce the Blessed. Well, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Oh, really? I don't see many kids around. I'm the father of many nations. I'm Bruce the Blessed. Well, you don't look blessed. You know, I mean, there have been times where I've driving cars, I didn't look very blessed, right? I've been places where, man, he doesn't look very blessed, but God says, you're blessed. So he's changed my name from being just Bruce to Bruce the Blessed. Right? And so I've got to go around, I'm Bruce the Blessed. I'm Bruce the Blessed. I'm Bruce the Blessed. But if I stop using the blessed part of my name, I'll go back to the level that I could attain in just Bruce. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it's so important what you're saying out of your mouth. What are you talking about? Are you talking about Bruce before Christ, or are you talking about yourself after Christ? See, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. Romans chapter 4. I think that we need to get our tongues in line with the Word of God and get them to the place, watch this, where we're beginning to speak the impossible into our lives. And we're not saying that if I just say it enough, I just say it enough. No, I'm reminding myself of what God has promised me, and therefore I will see it come to pass. Look at Romans chapter 4. And let's go to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham. who is the Father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of him he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now listen, our faith in God will cause God to call things in our life that don't exist as if they did exist. We must again have the faith of Abraham. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Again, this doesn't make sense. This shouldn't come to pass. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm not that. I'm all of these things. And it shouldn't come to pass. So hope is being sucked out of us because we're not listening to the word spoken to us. Are you listening to me? So we need to become like Abraham, have our name changed. And then against hope, we need to believe in hope. God said it, so my expectation is not in what I see, not in what I feel, not in what my circumstances are right now. My expectations are based on the promise and the name that he gave me. Did you know that God gave you a name? Did God give you a name? His name. In my name. I have the name of Jesus. It's part of my DNA since I've been saved. I can do what he says I can do. I can have what he says I can have. I'll be who he says I can be. Right? But we have to begin to say that over ourselves. Say it over ourselves. Begin to say it over ourselves. Hallelujah. Who contrary to hope, verse 18 again, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And I like this. And not being weak in faith. We read part of the story. Seemed like he was pretty weak in faith. How's this going to be, Lord? You gave me that promise, but how's this going to be? And then Sarah goes, well, you know, it's all right, Abraham. We'll just work out our own plan. Maybe God will bless our plan. And yet the Bible says that Abraham was strong in faith. Here's what I think. I think because God gave him the name Father of Many Nations, that began to work up on the inside of him. And he might not have been strong in faith when he began, but by the time that that took root and seed in him, by the time that Isaac was born, his faith was he saw himself as the father of many nations. There was no doubt he was going to be the father of many nations. God promised him he was going to be the father of many nations. For us, are we forgiven? Yes. Is condemnation taken away? It is if you believe it. But if you're still under that cloud of condemnation of your past, you don't really believe that he's the Redeemer. So what do you have to say? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I refuse to live condemned by my past because Jesus has made me a brand new person. How often do you have to say it? You have to say it until it becomes a reality on the inside of you where you see it. It's not just something you're hoping that's going to be there, but you see it on the inside of you. There will come a day where condemnation will just no longer be a part of who you are because you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind to what God has said about you. Come on, say this with me. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I can have what God says I can have. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. You see, what I'm trying to get us to is that we start believing again. Instead of, well, I hope circumstances just work out so that I can go to Mexico again. Or I hope work, you know, things just work out so that we can have our own building. I just hope things work out so that I can get that car that God promised me. I hope that things work out so that my kids will be saved. We need to begin to speak it and speak it and speak it to ourselves. Not that we're going to make it happen by our speaking, but what our speaking does is it convinces us, spirit, soul, and body, that what God's promised, He's faithful to perform. Right? Hallelujah. Now watch this. This is really good. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. See, we need to go from, I hope so, to I know so. And the way that we do that is that we speak over ourselves, not just some pie in the sky thing, but we speak over ourselves what God says about us. Right? But here's what we do most often is we say, yep, God told me that. But, you know, I'm a failure. I've always been a failure. I'll always be a failure. I was poor. My family was poor. My grandfather was poor. So there's no way that I'm just not of that class. God can't use me like He uses somebody else. And you convince yourself of that rather than going, you know, if God is for me, who can be against me? There's nothing impossible for me who believes. I'm going to trust God and just begin to work and work and work at putting the Word on the inside of me. Putting the Word on the inside of me. Putting the Word on the inside of me. I want to be, at the end of the day, I want to believe God and trust that God is in me and that He's with me and that He's for me. Right? But you're going to have all kinds of circumstances come against you. It's like this. It's like just because you started out one way and it just didn't seem to happen, are you the one that just says, well, I guess it didn't work? Or are you the one that gets back up and says, you know, I'm going to keep beating this thing until it breaks? Right? I'm going to beat this thing until it breaks. It's like this. I've had situations where trying to break a rock in two. Have you ever tried to break a rock in two? Have you? And you know, you beat on it. Then you might even get one of those star drill things and you beat with a sledgehammer. And over and over, nothing seems to be working. I mean, days you've been beating on this thing. But then one day, one swing, and all of a sudden that rock breaks in two. And you think, wow. It broke in two. But it didn't break in two just because you swung it that last time. It broke in two because you didn't give up the first time or the second time or the third time or 4 hours or 6 hours. But you kept going back to that rock and beating on it until it gave in. And with us, it's like we're fighting the good fight of faith. It's like, Lord, if you told me to do something, I'm just going to believe you and continue to do it. But watch this. Faith never sits on the couch waiting for God to do something. Faith always leaves his hometown. Faith always steps out of the boat. Faith always does something to give God something to work with. Right? I don't know how this is going to happen, but it's going to happen. I remember when we were going to go to Uganda, right? Bishop Frank had been here. He invited us to go, and I felt in my spirit that we're supposed to go. And so, God, you know, He puts some things on me sometimes, and it comes out of my mouth, and I went, what did I just say? But I spoke, and this was before we had any money raised whatsoever for the trip. I said, we're going to Uganda. And God's going to supply our needs to get there and our needs while we're there. And we're going to leave $10,000 in Uganda. Yeah. You got to understand, that wasn't in the budget. That was not in the bank account. That was nowhere in the natural. There's no way that could happen. Yeah. Zero way. But you know what we did? We started putting action to our faith. We started believing God. But not only believing God, we started, okay, God, He gave us an idea for this and for that and different ways to have the money come in. And you know what we did? We left $10,000 in Africa when we came home. Because we believed God. And we acted on what He said. But we continued to speak what He said. So faith speaks. And the entrance of faith into our heart comes from what we're saying. But oftentimes it can be sucked out of us by what we're saying. Well, God blesses some people, but He doesn't bless me. I had a lady come into my office once, and she'd been saved a long time, and she'd been to college, she'd been to all kinds of Bible classes, and she said, Pastor, she said, I see how God blesses everybody else, and I hear this testimony, but He just doesn't bless me. I don't know what it is, He just doesn't bless me. And you know, I'm sitting there in my great wisdom, in my pastoral chair, and I'm looking at her, smiling, and I'm going, oh, God, what do I say here, right? I mean, what do I say? But see, I trust the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. I said, listen, you know that Jesus loves you, right? Oh, yeah, I know that. I know that. Jesus loves me. I mean, the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible. You know that, right? Oh, yes, I know that. I said, well, if He loves you, have you ever asked Him to love on you? What do you mean? And I said, well, you know, I'm married to Renita, and she loves me, and I know that. But there's some times when we're sitting on the couch that I just need her to hold on to me, just to hold my hand. I know she loves me, but the demonstration of that love in a personal, simple way, in a relation thing, cements that love. So I said, have you ever asked God to love on you? And she said, how do I do that? And again, this is all by the Spirit. This is not me, right? I mean, I was involved, and I trusted that God would give me the words to say, right? So I was involved, but I said, you just get alone with God, however you do, to quiet your mind down, whether it's worship, whether it's praying in the Spirit, but just set some time aside every day and say, God, I'm just going to ask You to love on me. So I'm going to shut my mind down. I'm just going to meditate on the Word of God, and God, would You love on me? And it was about 9 months later, she was going through some things, and she came up to me and she said, Pastor Bruce, You saved my life. You saved my life. I didn't save her life, but the word that she began to speak over herself and the love of God that was elusive to her because of things in her past that she didn't seem or feel lovely. She thought she wasn't worthy of love. That began to melt away. And then she began to receive some of the blessings that God brings to those He loves. But you see, you had to get her out of the, I'm not worthy. I'm not, you know, I'm just somebody's trash. I mean, God loves everybody else, but He doesn't love me. So you have to put yourself in the Word of God. God began to speak to Abraham, and then God finally said, you are the father of many nations. Introduce yourself that way. Begin to talk that way. Begin to walk that way. You are the father of many nations. Don't let anything else come out of your mouth. And for us to take on that kind of faith, we've got to begin to believe what we're saying. Let me just give you an example. The Bible in the book of Acts, I think it was at the book in the church at Antioch, it says that's where they first were called Christians. Christians. Do you know if we get a hold of that name? Christian means Christ-like. If I started to believe that I'm really Christ-like, that I'm a Christian, that means I'm Christ-like. What does that mean? I have His love on the inside of me. I have His wisdom on the inside of me. I have His compassion on the inside of me. I have the mind of Christ. That's who I am. So that when I'm facing something that I don't know what to do, I just have to say, I'm a Christian. But that doesn't define the category of people that I'm with. That defines the one who I'm connected with. Are you with me? So when you say, I'm a Christian, don't let it be, this is the group here that I belong to. Begin to develop that. This means that I'm connected with the one who has all the answers. I'm Christ-like. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm loved by God. I am lovable. I'm forgiven. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things. There is nothing impossible with me. But you know what this takes? This takes us to meditate on what God's speaking to us. What does that mean? That means we think about it. We ponder it. We let God begin to speak to us about it. See, just reading the Word of God is great. And you'll be blessed to read the Word of God. But if you'll take part of that Word of God and make it the meditation of your day. Right? So you go back to it, you ponder it. You just trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. And so you go a little ways and you're doing something and all of a sudden you got a spare moment and thoughts are coming. You go, wait a minute. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And you begin to meditate on it. It'll change your life. Let me give you an example of that, and I've got to close. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. They don't have this in the back, but it's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We were given an assignment in Bible school, and we had to take one verse. First of all, the instructor gave us a verse. And for the next week, we had to spend 15 minutes a day pondering on this verse, meditating on this verse, and then journaling whatever we put down. When I first got that assignment, I thought, oh my God, how am I going to do that? I mean, 7 days of first verse, 15 minutes a day, one verse. I mean, how am I going to come up with something new, right? And so the second week, we got to pick our own, and I picked this one. And I read, and God is able. And I stopped right there. I stopped right there. See, I'm meditating on this verse. I'm thinking about this verse. And I said, God is able. Wait a minute. God is able. God's ability is what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about my ability. I'm not even talking about your ability and my ability together. I'm talking about God's ability. Everything that goes on from here is all determined by His ability. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. Come on. He's omniscient, right? This is the God that we're talking about. And God is able. I wrote probably 4 pages of notes on God is able. So I got past that. I mean, I got through that. I shouldn't say past it. I got through it. And God is able to make all grace, not just a little bit of grace, not your grace, you know, right? I get this little section of grace and you get this little section of grace. He said all grace. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Really? Really? Yeah, you're Bruce the Blessed. Did you understand what I'm saying? You're Abraham, the father of many nations. God can make all grace abound to you. What does grace do? Grace gives us everything that we need that He's given to us so that we can make use of it in our lives. All grace abound to you. Watch this. That you always having all sufficiency in all things. I mean, I haven't always been here, right? But that's what I'm believing for, that I have sufficient. If He wants me to give $1,000 to somebody, I've got to believe that He's able to grace me with an extra $1,000 to give. Okay, I've got to close, but let me just practically tell you how this has worked out in my life. Years ago, before I was ministry or anything, I was given an opportunity. There was a call. All of you who want to go on an advance or whatever they called it, we're a trip to Honduras, a mission trip. I've only been saved about a year. I want to go. I didn't have any money to go. And back then, I think the trip was going to be like $1,300. Back in 1979, that was a lot of money. $1,300. But the speaker up there said, don't worry about the money. Don't worry about that. If you want to go, if you feel like God's calling you to go, just come down here. We're going to pray for you. So I went down there. I said, God, I'm in. I'm going. I want to go. Bless God. I believe that you're going to be able to supply this need. And I thought, dear Lord, how am I going to make this happen? I was actually closing on a house. Had to come up with some money for that. And, you know, there's just no way in the natural that I could do it. But I said, God, I'm going to trust you. And see, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. So what happened? I worked at a particular shop in Seattle. We never had any overtime, but we had this contract with Boeing that was requiring a lot of things to be done in a hurry. And so for the full month of February, we didn't have a day off. And we've got double time for overtime. In this union. So Saturday and Sunday was double time. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God made all grace abound toward me. You think, yeah, but you just got that through. No, God caused that to happen because I believe that His grace. So there's a part in us that we just have to trust God. But I didn't go around to people and say, I need $13,000. Could you send me some money? I trusted God, but God opened the door. Do you get what I'm saying? But tonight, we need to begin to watch what we're saying and begin to speak out of who He's made us to be, not what we were. I'm a child of God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm loved by Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You, Lord, that the blessings of Abraham are mine, that I have been engrafted in to the family of God. And I thank You so much, Lord, that I'm Your child. And I thank You, Lord, that everybody that's listening to this message tonight is in the same situation. Begin to speak over yourself that God is for you. So who can be against you? Nothing can separate you from His love. Begin to speak, I'm content in all things because Jesus is with me. I just command that depression to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I command depression to go in Jesus' name. I speak life and I speak love and I speak the heart of God into your heart in Jesus' name. If you're watching along, God bless you. Thanks for joining us. Be blessed tonight because you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen.